grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen. Our meditation for this evening is from Matthew chapter 10, verse 4b, which is the last half of the verse. And Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord, if the characters who played a part in the story of our Savior's passion were able to come back and, knowing something of our current times and all the things that are going on, knowing about our loves and our hates, upon our dreams and desires and fears and hopes, and they tell their story in our own language, what do you think they would say to us in the year of our Lord 2017? I imagine it would be pretty interesting. And if the darkest of characters came to us, Judas, what would his story be? He would say maybe something like this: I, Judas, have a dark, dark story. I abused the privilege of discipleship, and I got what I deserved. You know, sometimes a person of your generation says that I acted in ignorance, but that really is not the case at all. That's just not right. In fact, that's wrong. You see, all four of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and also John, all said the same thing about me, that he betrayed the Lord, or they called me the betrayer. I knew exactly what I was doing. A preacher in your time said that Jesus was God incarnate and I was the devil incarnate. And he was right about that. Please listen to my story. I ask not for forgiveness, but simply understanding. For I am like everybody else, a human being, fully capable, like any human being is capable of doing, something as terrible and as evil as this. And I'm sure it's even with you. I was born near Jerusalem in a little town called Kerioth. I was raised by parents who truly loved me, gave me a special name, Judas, which means the praise of God. I came from this town that was much like anybody else's. You see, we were of the line of Judah. We were people who recognized that Jesus is a Savior, a Jehovah God. We knew full well, and we were taught that from our youth on up, this wonderful teaching of the promises of God. I had a spiritual interest in things early on in my young adulthood, and I really remember that special day when the prophet of Israel, the one who came from Nazareth, Jesus, came and spoke to me and invited me to come and follow him. With the best and happiest of intentions, I left my home, left everything behind, and followed him for 2 years up and down Palestine from north to south. But in the third year, things changed, because that's when Satan entered me. And he pulled me away from the disciples. Let me tell you how that happened. My sin was greed. And how ironic it was that of all the 12 that could have been chosen to be the treasurer, I was chosen to be the treasurer. And boy, let me tell you, temptation was hitting me hard and fast each and every day. And then one day, a few of the coins that were supposed to go into that treasurer's bag, well, they got kind of stuck to my fingers. And they wound up in my own pocket. Now, as you count sin, this is only just a tiny little sin, not like those big sins that you see broadcast, and what do you call that stuff, media out there, or on TV, or on the internet, whatever you call that, whatever that thing is. You see, I thought that my pilfering was really not a sin at all, because after all, I told myself I'd pay it back. And if I forgot to pay it back or lost track of the amount that I had taken, that would be okay too, because after all, I did deserve some sort of compensation for being the treasurer. Listen to me, my friends. When we want to sin, The devil stands right next to you, giving you every excuse in the world to go ahead and do it and to cover your wickedness. I wish I had been caught the first time. Maybe that Thursday evening might have turned out happily for me. You know, when you get caught in a sin, thank God for it, the sins that you get away with harden you and they curse you doubly. There are sins that you would try again. See, what happened to me is that I started taking more and feeling less regret about what I was doing. Now, don't think I wasn't warned. You know, the voice of Jesus was like a foghorn out on the bay when I heard him say, like, there is nothing that is concealed from God, or watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Never say that God does not warn you about your sin. My story shows that left untreated, sin can be like a cancer. It contaminates your emotions. The joys that I had as a disciple soon turned into fear that my theft would be discovered. The love I had for this Jesus of Nazareth soon turned into bitter hatred. Eventually, I realized that if this man knew the thoughts of a Samaritan woman, he certainly would know the thoughts and what's going on in the head, in the heart of a man named Judas, and that I would be one day revealed. So I became the consummate hypocrite. You remember the incident about Simon the leper when we were at his home? And here this woman, who we called it then, a sinner in every sense of the word, she came with bitter tears and she broke open this jar of ointment and she anointed Jesus with it. What a waste, I said to myself. And I pretty much said that to everybody else. You know, that could have been sold, that ointment, and the money could have been put into the treasury for the poor. And, well, for myself, too. And that was that. You know, I really deserved that money. And I thought, I've grown beyond all of this. I'm going to go because they had put out the word. I'm going to go to the religious leaders. That's exactly what I did. And then I bargained for 30 pieces of silver, which was about a third of what that ointment cost. And I would make sure that I would hand over Jesus to the leaders. So I watched and waited, and nothing so corrupts a person as a plan for sin. And I remember that last meal with Christ my Lord. He knew my plans. He said, one of you who eats with me shall betray me. I played my part to the end. Is it I, Lord? And he already knew. It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I've dipped it in the dish. And you don't think that all the other eyes weren't looking at where that bread would go? And he gave it to me. And I took it. And he said, yes, it is you. And Satan entered me. And I left. My story comes quickly to an end. I led the mob out to the garden. I approached Jesus. I kissed him on the cheek, the sign of betrayal. And hard man that it was, that I was at that time, this was something that was very hard to do because I thought, or at least half thought, that this Jesus would damn me on the spot. But when I looked into his eyes, I saw pain and love. Friend, he said. Imagine that, calling me his friend. Friend, do what you came to do. And I did. And I pray and I hope that you never, ever know the anger and the guilt and the horror which swept over me. Matthew, Mark, and Luke said that Peter went out and wept bitterly that night. Well, don't you think I did the same thing? I certainly did. Listen, please. Sin looks so different after you have sinned. In temptation, sin looks like forbidden fruit. But after the act is accomplished, it's like drinking poison. Now, the money jingling in my pocket offered me a solution to my problem. I thought, if only I go back to the temple and talk to them, reasoned with those religious leaders, and give back the money, that they would change their minds. So I went back and I said, I have sinned against God. I have betrayed an innocent blood. And they kind of smirked at me and said, well, so what? You got what you wanted, we got what we wanted. And for me, there was only shame and guilt and remorse, and with trembling hands, I threw those 30 coins and I went out into the night. The guilt of your sins, they are stains upon your heart. And only God can take away that stain. In the darkness of that night, I came to my final crossroad. To the left was hell. To the right was Jesus. You know, St. Peter, he went to the right. He remembered the words of Jesus that said, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. He confessed his sin. He found mercy from God and forgiveness. I didn't find it. Not because God refused it, but because I didn't ask for it. And in the remorse of my action, I brought my life to an end. Listen, please, I implore you, listen. Never, ever think that there is a sin so great that Jesus cannot forgive it. Never be that way. Receive what I refused, forgiveness earned by the blood of the Savior Jesus Christ. Now you might expect me to say, well, I just want you to forget about me, Judas, but not actually. I want you to remember me. Not as somebody to look up to, not as somebody to be inspired by, but simply as a warning. So much for Judas. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's receive our offering.